Good morning, everybody. With this being Memorial Day weekend, I kind of wanted to start out with reading an email that I got from Casey. Most of you know that, you know, my son or our son's in Afghanistan right now. And I just thought it'd be kind of neat to share this email. He says, "Tell everyone, if you could for me, that it helps to know that everyone is in support of me as well as my fellow service members. It brings me back to reality in ways and reminds me of the bigger picture. It's hard sometimes remembering that there are men, women, and children that we protect every day that we are here. Whether you're in an infantry unit or work directly on base, and even in garrison, garrison means on base in the States, we still have a country to serve. So thank you for being Americans and giving me a country filled with good families, and giving me a reason to stand for our way of life." That really touched me when he wrote that. And, you know, Memorial Day, you know, we remember family that passed, we remember service members that passed, but we also need to remember the ones that are still serving and that are over there in harm's way, making sure that we continue to have the freedoms that we have right now. So let's start with prayer. Our God and Father, we just thank you for this beautiful, sunshiny morning. We almost forgot what the sun looks like. It's been so long. But we thank you very much. As we get ready to hear from you, we first want to start by lifting up all the service members, all the fallen service members that are serving this country, Father. Just be with them, strengthen them, remind them on this day that you're there, that they can reach out to you for strength and courage, and that freedom has a high price to pay. And we thank them for being willing to pay that price. Father God, we also want to pray for all the victims of the tornadoes that we've had as of late. Joplin got hit horrible, just right north of here. You know, it got hit really bad. People are just devastated with all the stuff that's going on. And we just ask that you would just touch people's hearts, Lord. Lift them up. There's nothing good that we see that comes out of that kind of destruction, but you can use it to draw people onto you. And Lord, if nothing else, we hope that that is something that you're doing with this, that there are people that come to know Jesus Christ due to this devastation. Father, we just ask for a blessing on every one of these people that has to go through that right now, Father. We just thank you so much. Lord God, as we get ready to have service, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to just minister through me. Let the words I speak be clear, that everybody can understand them, Father. And as always, I want it to be something that they can use in the days and years to come, or it can be something that helps them in the here and now and doesn't just prepare them for the here and after. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a message all prepared that I was going to bring. And then I changed my mind and started all over and did something completely different because I wanted to share something different. I'm sure all of you heard the Harold Camping story by now. The guy that predicted that on June 21, God's judgment was going to hit the earth. Man, it was all over the news. It was on Yahoo. It was all over it. And it was going to be God's judgment day. And from there on, I mean, people were going to die by the millions. And by October 21 of this year was the end of the world. He had a whole bunch of people buying into this, too. And the crazy part is, he did the same thing back in 1994. He also talked about the end of the world, that it was going to be then. And then when it didn't happen, he said, "Well, I miscalculated." Well, prophets of God don't miscalculate. They give you either the truth or you don't get anything at all. So we can definitely rule him a false prophet. You know, then when this happened, you know, he said, well, it wasn't a physical judgment. It was a spiritual judgment. That's why we didn't notice the difference. And, you know, that's why there wasn't the 200 million people raptured that he talked about. But, of course, there's no way to prove that that was like that. You know, there was no physical evidence of it. So, you know, we have to kind of go, But I want to read some scripture to you, and I'm not an end time preacher. I obviously know about end time, but I'm not studied enough on it to write no books or anything like that. But I can read to you what the Bible says, and we can interpret it off of that. So I want to read out of Matthew's. And it's Matthew's 24. And starting in verse 3, it said, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Son, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Now we can look around us and we can say, well, a lot of this is going on right now. Now I'm not good enough to tell you, you know, how much has it increased over the years, you know, how much more of this kind of stuff are we seeing. But we all know there's a lot of wars and that kind of stuff going on. You know, obviously, you know, we see natural disasters and that. So we do, in my mind, we are seeing some of this going on. But I want to read on because the Bible's a lot better explaining this stuff than I am. So I'm going to read some more. It says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Now, there's a lot of Christians that are persecuted. There are Christians that are being killed. Fortunately, in this country, we're pretty safe. I mean, we get to stand right here and preach the word. You know, a lot of countries, you can't do that. But the persecution it talks about, I mean, a lot of that is actually going on. So I'll read some more. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And the false prophets, and I don't want to sound like I'm beating people up, but all you got to do is turn on the television and turn on the religious channels. There's a whole lot of stuff being broadcast that is not scriptural. You got to be really careful as to who you listen to and who teaches you. And that ain't no different even with me. I mean, the stuff I say right here, now I do my very best to give you exactly what the Bible says, but I could make a mistake. So the best thing to do is look at what I'm saying, go home and read your Bible and double check it. And if it doesn't match exactly what the Bible says, then it's a good time to say, hey, Hines, you're messing up. Because, I mean, people need to be held accountable. They really do. But that's kind of a bunny trail. Let's go on here. Because of the increase of wickedness and the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Well, we look around with, you know, the technology now. I mean, the gospel is probably going into, I don't know, 95% of the world. I mean, there's probably, they say there's still some Aboriginal tribes here and there that haven't heard the gospel, but for the most part, the gospel has been spread all over the world. So, you know, we're getting pretty close there. But then I want to read verse 27. It says, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, there will be no doubt Just like it says, lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west. In other words, it's visible all the way across the sky. When Jesus comes back, there is going to be no doubt. You are not going to be sitting here debating whether that's a spiritual judgment or if he's coming in a real judgment or what. We're going to know for sure that he is coming, that he came back. But I want to read a little bit more. It says, wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Which they could be talking about an eclipse, I don't know. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Which I'm guessing, you have falling stars today. I don't know if there's, going to be like this cosmic, stars blowing up all over. I don't know. Obviously, those stars aren't going to fall to the earth, because if one of them hit the earth, this place be gone. So, I'm not quite sure how you would interpret that literally. But either way, we know it's going to be bad. It says, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And the way most scholars interpret that is that it's talking about judgment. When it talks about coming on the clouds, so that is speaking of judgment. So we're going to know he's here, and he is here to judge the world. And it says, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. I don't think that's happened yet. And I don't think we've seen Jesus come like the lightning from one and seen him from one end to the other. I do think a lot of these things have happened. How close we are to the end, I don't know. I want to read a few more verses here. It says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. There's a lot of discussion among scholars what the word generation means right there. Because a generation obviously is not from back then when this was told to right now. It's been a whole bunch of generations. And some people say, that this, they have all different ways of looking at it. I think what it is, when you read the scripture, the Bible, what it does a lot of times, it'll take an event that happened back then, it talks about back then, and it'll also apply to today. Well, I think what Jesus was talking about back then was the judgment that was going to come on Israel. After he went to heaven, Israel got destroyed, the temple got, I think in 70 AD, the temple got destroyed. And I believe that was where he's talking about the generation. But then you can take the same thing that he's using back then as what's real to them then, and we can apply that to today. The Bible does that in a lot of places when we read through there. So I don't get real hung up on that word generation. Some people do, but I don't. But it's like it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In other words, just like the dude that sells the suits, he says, I guarantee it. It is going to happen. There's no doubt. But did it happen? No, did the judgment come there a couple weeks ago? I don't think so. Can somebody stand up there and predict when it's going to happen? Well, again, I want the Bible to tell you, not me. But I'm going to let the Bible tell you whether somebody can predict that. It says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So the judgment that was coming to Israel back then, and the judgment that's coming to us eventually, or maybe today, we don't know. Jesus says not even he knows, only the Father knows. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And then just a couple of more verses to back that up. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And in Matthew 25, verse 13, it says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. In other words, the next time you see some guy getting on television and telling you he's figured out the Bible better than Jesus did, and he knows exactly when the end of the world's going to be, just turn it off, because everything that he's telling you is not based on the Bible. And all it's going to do is make you nervous, mess you up, and really mess with you. So, am I saying you can just live however you want to live? No, he's not saying that. Because Jesus could be here in 5 minutes. He might wait till I win my first moto and then he'll come, but that might be a long wait, so odds are he probably won't wait for that. But he is going to show up. We know that. And you have to be ready. It's like you plan like he's coming today, but you live like it could be a bunch more years. Like you don't spend your retirement and thinking that he's going to be here today. My wife Cece read on the internet, there were people putting their pets to sleep because they were afraid they were going to be left behind when they get raptured. And then the rapture didn't come, and now they put their pets to sleep. I can't imagine how many of them blew their savings and stuff like that, because they bought into some dude that was way out there. But to make sure that you're ready, most of you here already know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. We know that. He came to this earth. He walked on this earth as an example to us. He allowed himself to be crucified. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And, like the guy at work I was talking to the other day, and he's like, and you hear this all the time, I know so many people that are good people, he says, I don't know why they wouldn't go to heaven, because they're not really doing anything wrong. Well, we all do things wrong. We all tell a fib here, lie here and there, might take a pen or a pencil. It's all this, how good are we in comparison to what? In comparison to each other, we're all pretty close. But in comparison between us and God, there's a huge difference. And he's not even, all he's saying is, hey, I give you this free gift that all your sins are covered. All you got to do is receive it. So if you don't know Jesus, you need to take him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Just admit that he paid the price for the sins that you committed, will commit, and will commit after that. Because that's one thing that we're guaranteed, we're all going to mess up. And then we can be ready. And when one of these guys comes on the scene that claims he knows it all, no worries. Because we're not going to heaven on what we're doing. We're going on to heaven what Jesus did. And what he did is perfect. So we are secure. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We believe that the Holy Bible is your word. Anything and everything that people say has to line up with that Bible. If it does not line up with that Bible, we need to throw it out as trash. There are so many people teaching stuff is wrong. There's people talking about knowing the end times, all this stuff. Yes, a lot of things that it talks about for end times we see today, and I really think that, things are getting worse, but we don't know how much worse is in your eyes. We know that there will be a time when you will no longer be able to handle everything that's going on down here. You're going to say, this is it. I have waited as long as I can wait for people to come to know Jesus. And I'm going to pull the plug, you might say. So Lord, I ask if there's people here that don't know you, that you would touch their hearts. Knock on their hearts today to draw them to you. And if they don't understand exactly what it is, that they would come look me up so where I can explain it in detail. That way, they know what kind of decision they're truly making, because they can't make a decision they don't understand. We thank you so much, Lord. Again, I also want to lift up everybody that may have lost family members or have people in the military, or I want to lift up anybody that has someone out there. Just lift them up to you right now. I want to mention our POWs. There's families, you know, that are mourning for them and stuff. And I just pray for them. And again, also pray for the hurricane and the tornado victims. Father, you would touch them, help them through these next days. Provide the help that they need. We just thank you so much, Lord. As we get ready to race, Lord, let us have a good time. Let us have a safe time, Father. And let's do all this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all for coming.